The class chose Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 for us to reflect on today. And as is tradition here at Lasier University Church, I invite you to please stand for the reading of God's word as we open our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies to hearing this text that they chose. Now, they chose Hebrews 1, verse 1. We're going to go a little bit further. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, when Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the thing promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have opportunity to return. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly home. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of God. Please be seated. Families, faculty, staff, church family, those who apparently may live under rocks, and graduates, today is one of those strange moments where everyone is looking at you as young adults, which is really moving. It is also slightly suspicious, because just this past week, some of you were still asking, do we really have to turn in this assignment? And today, many people out here are asking you, what do you want to do with your life? That escalated quickly. Graduation has a way of doing that. One day you are trying to finish your homework. The next day, people are talking to you about majors and careers, financial aid, resumes, life goals, Roth IRAs, and whether you know how to do the laundry. And the answer to that one may still be developing. I brought a picture with me today. This is me as an 18-year-old, about the age, I'm the good-looking one. This is me, 18 years old, a couple of days before my not graduation, because growing up in South Africa, we did not have graduations in high school. The first time I graduated was in college. They just said, see you later. So this is me a few days before I finished high school with three of my friends. 18 years old, we are smiling, we look good, because it was the banquet. We look confident. We look like the world is at our feet, and let me tell you what was actually happening inside my head. I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I did not have a 5-year plan. I barely had a 5-day plan. I went to a university only because of someone I liked who went there. I was standing at the edge of something big, smiling for the camera, while quietly wondering, what on earth comes next? What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to become? And is everyone else pretending as much as I am? This is the strange thing about graduation pictures, many of whom you've already taken and will take. They capture the smile, but not always the uncertainty behind it. They freeze the moment of celebration, but not this in-between place you are standing in right now. Because most of life does not come with the whole map. Most of life is not a straight line. Most futures are not handed to us with a timeline, a guarantee, and clear set of instructions like it's dropped out of heaven. And that is why I love your class scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Because if there ever is a moment when you need faith in what you cannot yet see, it is at graduation time. You are being sent into a future you cannot fully predict, with plans you may and definitely will revise, questions that you cannot yet answer, and probably a few passwords you will forget. And somehow, Hebrews says, that is exactly where faith begins. Faith begins when you cannot yet see. Can I get an amen? I hear a mmm. Faith begins when you cannot yet see. So let's have a word about faith, since this is the verse you chose. We have to be careful with this word faith, because sometimes, and especially this verse, because sometimes we treat faith as if it means certainty. See the word confidence and assurance in there. As if faith means never doubting. As if faith means never questioning. As if faith means never hesitating. As if faith means never being afraid. As if faith means not knowing what's ahead. Sometimes we imagine faith is like this giant inner confidence meter. If the needle drops from high confidence to low confidence, we think that our faith is failing. So what do we do then? We try to believe harder. But Hebrews 11 does not give us that kind of faith. Thanks be to God. Hebrews 11 is the so-called heroes of the Bible chapter, listing all the various heroes. But it is not a museum of perfect people who had everything figured out. Hebrews 11 is more like a photo album filled with complicated people who heard a call, took a step, made mistakes, wandered around, got things wrong, kept going, and somehow found that God was faithful even when they were not always sure. Is anybody out there? Thank you, Icky. Love having you as a boss. Friends, this is where how we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is really important. Now, your class chose the New International Version of Scripture for this translation, and it is beautiful. It says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. But this translation can make faith sound more like a psychological thing, as if faith is about how confident we feel or how assured we feel. The Greek words underneath the verse, and you know, those of you who know me will know, we'll always go to Greek. Amen? The Greek words underneath the verse are more concrete than that. In fact, the words we translate as confidence is more accurately translated as substance, reality, actual existence. And the word translated assurance is more accurately translated as evidence, proof, demonstration. So another way to translate your class verse is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is about God's reality and essence primarily, not our feelings about God. Those who know me know I always have a chiasm ready to go. So here we go. A chiasm is a literary structure that biblical authors use to provide clarity and focus in their writings to make a point. And Hebrews 1 verse 11 has this beautiful movement. In fact, the entire Hebrews, book of Hebrews, is a chiasm. Chapter 11 is also a chiasm, but we'll only share this one. things hoped for, A, the second of this couplet is things not seen, and then B, substance, reality, evidence, proof, and C, things in the middle, reality. Hebrews 1:11 is not saying faith is when you feel certain enough. It is saying faith is the reality of things, that is God's reality, hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things, that is God's reality, not seen. Or to say it more simply, faith is treating God's promised future as the truest thing in the room. And that matters because faith is not confidence in confidence. I have confidence in confidence alone. Man, everybody's dead out there today. Let's go, seniors. Because faith is not confidence in confidence. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not pretending something is true because you want it badly enough. That is not faith. That is looking at your phone at 3% battery and saying, I think it will last the whole day. No, it will not. That is not faith. You need a charger. And now I made you think of your phone. Faith is trusting that God, that what God has promised is more real than what our eyes can presently see. One image that helps me is deep water. Faith is not like this confidence meter we talked about, where if you don't have enough, it's problematic. Faith is like floating in deep water. If you panic, if you thrash, if you fight the water, what happens? You sink or drown. But when you stop fighting and when you lean back, you float. The water holds. And here is the gospel. You do not float because you believe hard enough. You float because the water is buoyant. The holding does not come from inside you. The holding is already there in the water. Faith is learning to trust in the buoyancy of God. Hebrews 11, there you are. I cheer for you at volleyball, you cheer for me at preaching. Hebrews 11 explores faith by recounting the stories of all these biblical characters, and near the center of Hebrews 11 is Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he received as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. That should be printed on every graduation program. Because that may be one of the most honest sentences in the Bible. Abraham set out, not because he had all the answers, but because he trusted the promise. The story of Abraham and Sarah shows us what faith looks like. And there are four words. Hello, balconies on this side. There are four words that I would like to study very quickly. And I would like for you to say them with me. The first word is leave. All right, one, two, three.
Leave.
In Genesis, God says to Abraham, go from your comfortable country and your kindred, your family, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. Notice what God does not say. God does not say, go to the land where the Google map location I have. God does not say, here is the itinerary. God does not say, here is the scholarship package. Here's your housing assignment. Here's your really cool roommate. Here's your career pathway. Here's your emotional support plan, free of charge. And here is your guaranteed outcome. No. God says, go, and then I will show you. In other words, start moving, and I will show the way to you after that. More of us would prefer a God who explains before asking. We want to a God who shows us the destination before we leave the driveway. But in the story of Abram and Sarah, clarity comes after movement, not before it. So graduates, you do not have to know everything to take your next faithful steps. Some of you know exactly what is next. Good for you. But for many of us, things are a little more uncertain. But hear this, uncertainty does not mean you are faithless. Abram left not knowing where he was going. And Hebrews does not call that failure. Hebrews calls that faith. And this matters because people will try and sell you a smaller version of life. They will say, choose what is safe, choose what is profitable, choose what is impressive, choose to stay comfortable. But Hebrews says that faith leaves what is familiar when the familiar is too small for God's promise. So graduates, leave well, leave with gratitude, leave with humility, leave with courage, leave carrying prayers and lessons and friendships and mistakes, and even leave with the group projects where everyone didn't do their work, but the one person did 90% of the work. Leave well. Do not confuse what you carry with what you where you must stay. Faith sometimes says, leave. And yes, leaving is complicated. Graduation is not only achievement, it is farewell. Farewell to the routines you complained about but will somehow miss. Farewell to classrooms and hallways and stinky locker rooms and Chick-fil-A runs on the way back from volleyball. Farewell to a version of you that you are outgrowing. Faith does not ask you to leave any of those feelings. Faith teaches us how to say farewell with gratitude and then to keep walking. So the first word, leave. Second word, laugh. The second word is? In the story of Abraham and Sarah, three visitors come in Genesis 18 and they announce to Abraham and Sarah, you will have a child. Now, there's a problem. Sarah is old, Abraham is old, they're pushing 100 years old. Biologically, that is ridiculously absurd. And Abraham laughs. By the way, we always knock Sarah for laughing, but the Bible actually says Abraham laughed first. Abraham laughs when God tells him this. Sarah overhears this, and when she hears this announcement, she laughs too. Not the polite church laugh like you're all doing when I'm trying to make jokes. Abram and Sarah laugh belly laughter because this promise sounds ridiculous, God. They laugh because life has disappointed them, because life has time has passed, because hope can become painful when it is deferred too long. And here is what is so great about this story. God does not cancel God's promise to them because they laughed. God doesn't say, well, clearly Sarah and Abram are laughing. This is no laughing matter, faith. Let me find someone who doesn't doubt. No, 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 no. They laugh and God keeps working. They doubt and the promise still stands. They question and God remains faithful. And that is the good news, because many of us were taught that faith and doubt are opposites. But in Scripture, doubt is often not the enemy of faith. Doubt is part of the conversation of faith. So, some of you graduates are moving into a season where your faith will change. We hope it does. Less dependent on easy answers, less interested in cliches, less impressed by certainty. But this faith will be a growing faith, a faith that you will come to appreciate. God is okay with laughter. And faith invites us to laugh when God presents us with the impossible. Yeah, God, that? No ways. Abram and Sarah laugh. And later, when their child is born, they name him Isaac, which actually means laughter. And often we want to laugh at Sarah and Abram, but God is laughing with Sarah and Abram because disbelief becomes belief and joy. That laugh that said, this is impossible, became the laugh that said, look what God has done. So do not be ashamed or do not be afraid of the places you will go in life. God is not finished with your laughter yet. Leave, laugh. Third word is live. Let's go for it, everybody. In fact, the imagery of this story in Hebrews, as you can see, the beautiful emoji of a tent there, faith lives in tents. Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham made his home to the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. He's in the promised land permanently, but lives in a tent. This phrase matters. They lived in tents. No, I'm not saying you should live in tents. Once you meet your roommate, you may want to. But Abraham and Sarah received a promise, but they did not possess that promise fully yet. They live with hope, but not completion. They live in tents. A tent is temporary. A tent says, I'm here, but I'm not going to be here forever. A tent is vulnerable. A tent is movable. A tent is not a fortress. And Hebrews says, this is part of faith. Faith does not always mean arriving. Sometimes faith means learning how to live faithfully while still waiting between promise and fulfillment. It does not despise who you were. It does not pretend you are already everything you will become. It lives honestly in the in-between of your becoming. So graduates, you are allowed to be in a process. You're allowed to be unfinished. That is not a flaw. That is what it means to be alive. At the center of Hebrews are characters who saw God's promise at a distance, did not fully realize it, but inhabited that promise by living in a tent. Your class motto in your programs, you will see it, paraphrases President J.F. Kennedy's moon speech. He said, we choose to go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it is hard. He gave that speech in 1962. He was assassinated in 1963, and the moon landing came in 1969. He named the destination he did not live to see. Some trails, graduates, are longer than a lifetime. You're entering into a world that will pressure you with immediate results. How fast did you succeed? How quickly did you achieve? How much did you earn? How many people noticed you? How many likes did I get? But Hebrews invites us to live in a tent with a long view. Faith stretches beyond the timeline of your life, beyond your immediate gratification. So graduates, you're graduating into a world of deep beauty and fracture. And the world does not need moral cruelty dressed up as strength. Right. Right. So your class motto is right. Do things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Living in tents is hard. But let me add one more thing. Do hard things because they are holy. Do hard things because people matter. Do hard things because love requires courage. So live in tents with humility. Hold your achievements lightly. Hold your identity deeper than your resume and hold your future open to God. Leave, laugh, live, and the last word is bless. I have to invite you again. Bless. The final word is bless because faith becomes a blessing. Near the beginning of Abram and Sarah's story, God says, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing, that you may be the simplest and most important summary of God's calling. You are blessed to be a blessing. You're not blessed to be superior. You're not blessed to be comfortable. You're not blessed to be isolated. You're blessed to be a blessing. So yes, graduates, become successful if you can. Use your gifts, develop your minds, do excellent work, but do not stop at success. Become a blessing. Do not settle for a small faith. Do not settle for a faith that is only about avoiding trouble, about a faith that is only about personal gratification and success. Do not settle for a faith that is only about me and me being right. Seek a better way to be human. Seek a better way to educate yourself. Seek a better way to handle power. Seek a better way to disagree. Seek a better way to love people who are different from you. Leave, laugh, live, but most importantly, bless. Pastor Ben made an announcement about the Be Well Care Kids from our sermon series the last 4 weeks. Here's a picture. We invited our congregation, and we invite you to today do the same. We have neighbors without homes who know a whole lot more about living in tents than we do. And as a community, we want to care for them because the gospel demands that. We have to bless. Just this morning, Mike Valdez, I don't know if you're here today, but he sent me this picture that he took, he's care, Be Well Care Kid, as we invite our congregation, and gave it to a neighbor without a home. And she was so happy, and he asked if he could take a picture and said, yes. Seek a better way to be human by being a blessing. This will not be easy, so do hard things with tenderness, because the world has enough hard people doing hard things harshly. Do hard things with a soft heart. Do hard things without becoming cruel. Do hard things with the love of Jesus. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Leave, laugh, live, bless. Leave what is familiar, that is faith. Laugh at what is impossible, that is faith. Live in motion, rooted not to this world, but to God's kingdom, that is faith. Bless, to be a blessing, bless the people around you and the world around you, that is what it means to have faith. So graduates of 2026, this is not the day that you arrive, and I think you know that. This is the day that you are sent. Abram and Sarah left. Abram and Sarah laughed. They lived in a tent. They sought a better country. They became part of a blessing larger than themselves. And now it is your turn. You picked your aim, the motto, and the verse. So go where there is no path. Do the hard things for love, justice, mercy, and the healing of the world. And receive Hebrews 11, verse 1 again. Faith is not certainty, control, or a map. Faith is leaning on the one who holds your life. Leave, laugh, live, bless. I started out, as I'm wrapping up, I started out with a picture of me when I was 18 years old, just before I graduated. Here is a picture of me after I completed high school. And notice I said completed high school because we did not have graduations. We did not have kindergarten, junior high, middle school, eighth grade, or high school graduations growing up in South Africa. We had nothing but a certificate that was mailed to you in the mail, not an email that was sent, and sometimes the results of your final exams were posted in the newspaper. Imagine that. So here's a picture of me, 18 and some, probably a couple of weeks after I completed high school. We did not have a GPA. We did not work in a GPA system, right? Your entire high school career came down to one final exam that covered grades 10, 11, and 12 on every subject. Would you like that? No. It was incredibly anxiety-producing. And statistics showed during that time that high school seniors had a high rate of stress and depression at that time. So I did not graduate, but I received a certificate. And you cannot see the grades on there, but I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you what they were. Because I was a straight A student, but because my entire life, so it appeared because everybody told me your high school final exam is all that matters, I was so anxious about it that I didn't study at all for my final exams, and I got two D's, two C's, a B, and an A. And look where I am at in life. C's get degrees, baby. All of a sudden, when I have D's and C's, everybody's with me. Oh, friends, you can't shake my hand afterwards. But yeah, so this is me, 18 years old, not knowing. I was in the between. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And like I told you, I went to a public university of Stellenbosch, enrolled in a double major in mathematical statistics and computer science. I cannot imagine doing that today. But so my life was not mapped out. Within 3 weeks of going to my public university with 18,000 students, I was like, this is not for me. Guess what I did? At a time in South Africa where at 18 you needed to know what you needed to do for the rest of your life, I quit college. Well, not college. I quit University of Stellenbosch, I took a quarter off, and somehow, by some crazy thing, I laughed at the impossible. You want me to become a pastor? Not in my life. My parents worked for the church, and I said I would never do that. 18-year-old Devo, with an uncertain future, leaving high school, leaving the University of Stellenbosch to go and study. And I finally did graduate. I graduated with my bachelor's at Helderberg College. And 18-year-old Devo could never have imagined graduating as a religious study major. 18-year-old Devo could never imagine that he would leave the comfort of Somerset West, where I spent most of my life, and go to the inner city of Johannesburg and pastor three churches as a 22-year-old. I could never have imagined that 18-year-old picture that you saw of me. As an 18-year-old, I could never have imagined that I would end up leaving South Africa and coming to the United States of America to this really crazy, obsolete place called Riverside. Where when I went on the 91 freeway, they told me there's a mountains, and I was like, they're not there. But I guess that's what faith is. When the smog cleared, we saw that. 18-year-old Devo could never imagine coming to the United States with a suitcase and a common cold for everyone in the airplane. After 1 week of arriving in the U.S., I figured I had my plan out. I told my best friend Greg, with who I was staying, he's like, this is not for me. I am going back to South Africa. Called my former employer, said, did you replace my job yet? But we had an all-night conversation, and he convinced me to stay for just a quarter. And 25 years later, here I am. I would never have imagined becoming a pastor at a university church. That is crazy. What, God? I would never have imagined having a master's degree, graduating with some of the coolest people like Pastor Chris Oberg, and having a spouse and a child. 18-year-old me would never have imagined that I would meet this fantastic woman, Leilani. And you see this picture of right there where Papa is sitting. Sorry to mention you, Papa. You can listen now for the next 3 minutes. That is right here in 2002. 18-year-old me could never have imagined this. And 18-year-old me certainly couldn't have imagined becoming a soccer coach at La Sierra Academy and being the loudest and most annoying cheerleader at volleyball games. Friends, 18-year-old me had no clue. And that's okay. Because God invites us into faith that is not about knowing it all, but about leaving, about laughing, about living, and about blessing. So, graduates, step into the unseen. But do not confuse the unseen with absent. The future is unseen, but God is not absent from it. The path is unseen, but God is not absent from it. The promise is unseen, but God is not absent from it. So go with courage. Go with humility. Go with joy. Go with laughter. Go with faith. Go with a deep, deep love for God and for people. And when the water gets deep, and it will, when the map runs out, and it will, when the promises feel far away, and sometimes it will, hear Abraham and Sarah. Hear the people who love you are gathered here today. Hear Jesus himself calling across the waters. Lean back. I've got you. Lean back, beloved. The water holds because God holds. So now, may the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of laughter and promise, the God of tents and trails, the God made known in Jesus go before you, walk beside you, work within you, and bless the world through you. Amen.